Apple and cherry crops in Michigan were decimated this year by some rather bizarre weather. A hot early spring was followed by a deep freeze and thaw. Then we had a record hot spell through much of the early summer. Is it climate change at work? Is this the new normal? I'm David Fair, and this is Issues of the Environment, a regular Wednesday feature during Morning Edition on 89.1 WEMU. Our guest this morning is Evan Mallon, and Evan is a research associate with the School of Urban and Regional Planning at the University of Michigan. Evan, good morning and welcome to WEMU.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, as I mentioned, the early part of the year certainly felt unusual. Historically speaking, was this a different kind of year?
Yeah, this was very unusual. It was clearly very warm. We had a big problem. So with the cherry crops, this was a big problem because the spring is getting earlier and earlier. So we're seeing that warming early, but the last freeze is not really changing. And so if we continue to see this warming in the spring, that may just put us at greater and greater danger of having the same kind of frost that kills the crops.
So do we have to start looking at different manners of taking care of our agricultural business in Michigan and throughout the Midwest?
Well, this is a really tough thing to take care of. There were a lot of people who were trying to warm up their crops in various ways, and that's very expensive and very difficult. But one thing that we are seeing is a shift in crops. And so, unfortunately, one of my favorite cherry wineries in northern Michigan has had to shift to only grapes, because grapes are a little more resilient than cherries. And so we may start seeing, at least in northern Michigan, a shift in what we can grow safely and reliably.
And that's probably just scratching the surface as to the potential impact on agriculture and the environment and ecology of Michigan.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, as we start to explore these issues, it was a bizarre weather year, but it's certainly not unusual in the history of the Earth. I mean, North America, the Midwest, the Earth itself, we've gone through cyclical changes. How do we delineate what is just the Earth going through its particular motions and what is kind of accelerated man-made climate change?
So we have a lot of these climate models now, and a lot of them have run a kind of average concentration model. And we're seeing warming that is far beyond that already. And we have seen a lot of changes, even in southeast Michigan. For example, in the past 60 years, our annual temperature has gone up by about 0.62 degrees Fahrenheit, and average annual precipitation has gone up by about 10%. So we're already seeing these changes, and they are far beyond what would just naturally be considered a natural cycle in climate and weather activity.
So what concerns you most in looking to the future if we are going to have these more kinds of severe weather periods?
What concerns me most? Well, in southeast Michigan particularly, I think we're going to run into further issues with a lot of our crops. We're also probably going to run into a lot of severe heat waves, which is not something we've really had to deal with before. So we're not terribly prepared for it. And that, I think, is going to be a big problem, particularly for...
Now, when you say heat waves, we had several days in the 90s and 100s, a whole stretch of them here over this past summer. Are you talking about even more extended and even warmer temperatures?
Yes, unfortunately. So I remember a time when we would get maybe a couple days a summer over 95 degrees. And this past summer, we had at least a week of that. And if we continue to see that, we'll run into a lot of problems with heat stress and stress-related illness and death, particularly for those people who don't have air conditioning or can't afford to use their air conditioning. The big problem with heat stress is that if we have long heat waves, then you just don't have any relief from the heat at night. And that's when you start to see these problems. And so if we continue to
And that's because
have,
of our humidity in this area? Because we do have people that live in the deserts just fine.
Right. Well, the people who live in the deserts don't have such humidity, and that humidity holds on to the heat. So even though it gets really hot in the desert, it gets really cold at night because when the sun goes down, all that heat goes away. And we have a much more humid climate here, and that heat just doesn't go away at night. And so if it gets really hot, it will stay really hot, and we just don't get that relief.
And taking it a next step further, if we're going to have long extended dry periods, we're likely to have more severe torrential downpours with some degree of frequency. Now, we're going to go from drought conditions and crops starving creating all sorts of economic disaster as well as human health disaster. Then you get torrential rains and the potential of flooding. We don't have the urban infrastructure for that, do we?
Oh, we really don't. And that's going to be a major issue as well. So one of the biggest changes in climate that we're probably going to see here is an increase in precipitation intensity, as you mentioned. And the trouble is we just don't really have the stormwater infrastructure to handle some of the rains we've been getting. Now, this summer I've been studying some of the cities in the northwest area of the region, and they just recently got some record floods, and they really couldn't handle it, and it caused devastating damage. And we may not run into similar kinds of floods here, but they certainly will be a lot worse, and we need to work on things such as making sure that we have a pervious surface, that the water can just trickle down into the ground rather than through our infrastructure, and things like daylighting creeks so they don't run under streets or buildings. And we really, that's one of the biggest things we need to start working on, is just to make sure that we can handle that water when it comes.
We are talking with Evan Mallett. He is a U of M research associate, and we're talking about climate change and what we can do. And you've just touched on, we need to start looking to the solutions and do so in a rather quick fashion. Is it about personal accountability?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I am, amongst all this doom and gloom, I am very optimistic about a grassroots movement. I see a lot of people are getting really frustrated with the politicization of this issue. And so they've taken it upon themselves to start doing something about it. And so I think this is really going to be more of a bottom-up movement, personally taking these steps to make sure that you or your neighborhood can handle some of these changes.
And once we take care of the neighborhood, what is it going to take to change American and global attitudes? Because it's going to be an extraordinarily expensive endeavor. I mean, we need to change our infrastructure. We need to take care of all of our sewer systems. We need to start looking at how we deal with our food systems and our food delivery systems and how we take care of human health.
You know, I think it's just, it's going to be more and more difficult to deny that the climate is changing, particularly with the changes that are already occurring. And in a recent survey, we found that over 75% of people in the Great Lakes region believe that either climate change is happening or that it is man-made. So people are getting on board with this. And I think that once we start to have this kind of bottom-up movement, that when people start to realize it is real, it is happening, then we're going to start to get the leadership listening to them, and they're going to start pushing in a way that does something about it. And it really has to move out of politics and just kind of become reality.
And if it becomes reality, what is the first step a person can take to become involved and start making a difference in their own life?
Well, I think you need to really be aware of the changes. I think just educating yourself is really step one. So look online, try to find, well, what's going to happen to your region, and what's something that you can do about it yourself to make yourself more comfortable or less vulnerable. Really just education, I think, is step one.
Well, and there it is. I thank you for helping educate us this morning, Evan.
All right, thank you.
That is Evan Mallett, and he is a research associate with the School of Urban and Regional Planning at the University of Michigan. I'm David Fair, and we thank you for joining us for another installment of Issues of the Environment. It's a regular part of Morning Edition each Wednesday and is produced in partnership with the Washtenaw County Department of Environmental Health. This is 89.1 WEMU.